The reading for today is John 14, verses 15 to 27. Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own, they belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Brilliant. Thanks so much. Let's pray, shall we? Lord, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would indeed come by your Spirit now. Give us eyes to see you, hearts to know you, and ears to hear what you have to say to us today as we look at your word together. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we are working our way, as Manda said earlier, through the Apostles' Creed, looking at what it means to say, "I believe in," the various statements that are there. And we get to, "I believe in the Holy Spirit" today. That's where we're at today. I wonder if you've ever heard anyone say, "More tea, vicar. More tea, vicar." Anyone heard that? I'll be honest, I've been ordained now, for 3 years. I've heard that quite a lot over the last 3 years. Quite a lot. People quite like saying that. I think clergy, those of us who are ordained, have got a bit of a reputation for liking a cup of tea or a cup of coffee, Amanda. Yeah, more tea, vicar, more coffee, vicar. Because there's a sense that it helps us to get through the day, isn't there? There's a sense that it helps us to get through the day, powers us on. I wonder what gets you through the day as you start off. I was talking to somebody in the first service and they said to me, "You know, I never have sugar in my coffee apart from this time in the morning. I need it to get me through the morning." Just that one little spoonful of sugar helps them at that moment. Maybe it's coffee and biscuits for you at 11 o'clock, Elevenses. Anyone a fan of Elevenses? A few people admitting to it. Maybe you have your lunch in the middle of the day and you go for a bit of a brisk walk just to clear your head, get some fresh air, and that helps you get through the day. Or maybe you're one of those people that enjoys a little power nap in the afternoon. Anyone going to admit to that this morning? I love a power nap. Please don't take one now. Unless you can listen while you nap. I do love a power nap in the afternoon when I get a chance to do that. As I say, we come to this line, "I believe in the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit, according to Jesus, will empower us. I've already missed out my wonderful PowerPoint there for the more tea vicar moments. The Holy Spirit will empower us. He will get us through the day. Jesus says in Acts 1 that you will receive power when the Spirit comes upon you, And the word used for power there is dunamis. Dunamis. It's the same word that we get the word dynamic from. You will receive dynamic power when the Spirit comes on you. So, in our reading in John 14, and please do have a Bible open in front if you've got one there. John 14, from verse 15 onwards. Jesus is talking to his disciples, his close friends, his followers, and he's preparing them for life without him there. He's going to be leaving them. He knows that his death on the cross and his resurrection is fast approaching. And Jesus has been life to his disciples. He said to them, I've come that the world may have life and have it to the full. Jesus has been a life giver to his disciples. And so he wants to reassure them as he gets ready to leave them. He wants to say to them, do not let your hearts be troubled. That although he is leaving, and we read this in verse 16, the Father will send them another counselor, the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit, another helper who will help them like Jesus has been doing, who will help them to walk in life in all its fullness. The Greek word that's used here for a counselor is paraclete, and it means one who's called alongside to help. The slightly older NIV translation, the translation we use in church, translates this word counselor. That's what we've heard read this morning. The Father will give you a counselor to be with you forever. The newer NIV, I've got this in front of me here, uses the word advocate. The Father will send an advocate to help you, to be with you forever. The King James Version uses the word comforter. I will send you a comforter that he may abide with you forever. So I looked at these different translations and I thought, well, which one is it? Which one is it? Who is the Holy Spirit? Well, he is all these things to us and he is more. He counsels us. He's an advocate for us. He helps us. And he comforts us. He gives us the strength that we need to get through. So Jesus promises the Holy Spirit to his disciples. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's quite hard to understand the Trinity, isn't it? We've been doing that in the 3-2-1 course quite recently. And it's quite hard to get our heads around how God can be three persons and yet one God. It's quite a difficult thing for us to get our heads around. The Holy Spirit, he's there all through Scripture. He's right at the beginning. In the second verse of the Bible, it says the Spirit was hovering over the waters. And in the last few verses in the book of Revelation, right at the end of the Bible, we read the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. The Holy Spirit is all over Scripture. One way to understand who the Holy Spirit is, one way to see the Holy Spirit, is to look at what Augustine, who was a theologian in the 4th century, said, how he described the Holy Spirit. He said, the Holy Spirit is the love that flows between the Father and the Son. Remember, God is love. And the Holy Spirit, being that love between the Father and the Son, is the one who brings us in to relationship with God, into relationship with the Trinity, with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's Jesus' death on the cross that makes it possible for us to be in relationship with God. And it's the Holy Spirit who brings us in, who invites us into that place of intimacy with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If you've got a Bible in front of me, have a look at verse 20 of John chapter 14. We read these words. Jesus says, on that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. It's quite a lot going on there, isn't it, to get our heads around. But let's think about that. If we belong to Christ, Jesus says, he is in his Father and we are in him. So where are we in relation to the Father if we're in Christ, who is in the Father? We're invited into this close relationship with the Father as well. It's like we're in him by Christ. Look at verse 23. Jesus says, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. We are invited by the Spirit into a deep and intimate relationship with the living God, with the Father and the Son by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, if you belong to Christ, then the Holy Spirit lives in you. Just as Manda reminded us at the beginning, if you belong to Christ, the Holy Spirit resides in you. He lives in you. Whoops. Paul writes to the Ephesians, when you believed in Christ, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. When you believed in him, you received the Holy Spirit, the counselor, the advocate, the comforter, the helper. The Spirit of God lives in you if you belong to Christ. So what does he do, the Holy Spirit? What is he all about? You might have noticed in our reading that the word obey comes up quite a few times. Verse 23, anyone who loves me, says Jesus, will obey my teaching. If we love Jesus, we'll walk in obedience to his ways. The Holy Spirit, the love between the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit is the one who enables us and helps us to love Jesus and to obey his teaching. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He helps us to love Jesus and to obediently follow him. I would like to suggest, certainly for me, without the Holy Spirit's help to love Jesus with all that I am and to obediently follow him, without the Holy Spirit, it's a non-starter for me. I can't get going. I don't know about you, if you've tried to live loving Jesus with all that you are, tried to live following Jesus' teaching faithfully, obediently, I think it's impossible without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit helps us in many, many, many ways, numerous ways, far too many ways for us to look at today. Unless you fancy spending the day looking at this together. I suspect you're dying to get into that lovely sunshine this afternoon, aren't you? So we're just going to look at four ways in which the Holy Spirit helps us today that have come to mind as I've been praying over this reading that we looked at this morning. And the first way the Holy Spirit helps us is that he helps us to hear God speak. I would suggest the most reliable way to hear God speak is to read this, is to read his word, read the Bible. That's how God speaks to me every day. So I first came to know God by reading his Bible. He revealed himself to me through this. 2 Timothy says that all scripture is God-breathed. It's Holy Spirit inspired. And that same Holy Spirit who inspired this will inspire you and I as we read it, will help us to meet with God, to hear him speak to us as we read. Paul prays to the Ephesians. He says, I keep asking, don't just ask once, keep asking, that God may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. The Holy Spirit helps us to know God better, helps us to hear God. And he will speak to us through his word, through his Bible. A great prayer to pray before you sit down and read your Bible is, Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you speak to me through this word as I read it now? It's a great prayer to pray before reading the Bible. But God speaks to us by his Spirit in other ways as well. When the Spirit was poured out at the first Pentecost, we read about it in Acts 2, the Apostle Peter quotes a prophet called Joel from the Old Testament. And he says these words. He says, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams." The Spirit speaks to us prophetically through dreams, through visions. Maybe you find a word just comes to you, or a picture. The Spirit speaks to us. May we be open to hear the Spirit speaking. If you have a sense that God is saying something to you, maybe you get a word that is an encouragement for somebody, or a picture. It's a really good thing to share it with somebody else and just say, "Do you think this might be from God?" Just share it with somebody that you trust. May we hear clearly from God by His Spirit. And very practically, in verse 26 of our reading, Jesus says the Holy Spirit will remind us of everything that Jesus has told us. He will remind us. I don't know what your memory is like. I worry about forgetting things. And I worry about forgetting when God's spoken to me sometimes. Might I forget that? And I'm always jotting things down on my phone. But Jesus is saying here, look to the Spirit. He will remind you. Isn't that a brilliant thing to remember and to look for? The Holy Spirit helps us to hear God speak. The second thing is the Holy Spirit helps us to speak to God. The Apostle Paul writes to the Ephesians, "Pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests." Pray in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit helps us, brings life and energy to our prayer life, guides us, helps us to know what words to use, who to pray for, what to pray for, how to pray according to the Father's will. There are times, aren't there, when we pray and we kind of run out of ourselves, run out of steam. Maybe we just don't know how to pray for some situations. Paul writes to the Romans, "The Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans." That's in Romans 8, verse 26. When we don't know what to pray, how to pray, when we come to the end of ourselves, Paul says, the Spirit will speak, will pray on our behalf through wordless groans. Paul writes elsewhere in the New Testament about the gift of speaking and praying in tongues. You may have heard of that, I don't know. It's praying in a language that isn't our own. It's a praying in a way that totally submits to the Spirit as Lord in our lives. Almost just bypassing our own opinions and our own thoughts and just crying out to Him in a language, in a heavenly language. It's a beautiful gift, and it's a powerful gift to pray in tongues, especially if you're going through a hard time, especially if you feel there's a battle going on and you need to push on through. It's a great gift to ask God to give you, to pray in tongues in the power of His Spirit. He helps us to speak to God. He also helps us to speak about God to others. Jesus says, the Spirit will give us the right words to say when we need them, especially when we find ourselves in a really tight spot. He helps us to hear God speak. He helps us to speak to God. Thirdly, He strengthens us. He strengthens us. He helps us to stay faithful in obedience to Jesus. Jesus says in verse 23, "If you love me, you will obey my teaching." The Holy Spirit helps us to walk in obedience, to take up our cross, to deny ourselves and to follow Him. That's costly. That can be quite hard. That's an understatement, isn't it? That can be quite hard. to take up our cross, deny ourselves and follow him. On a Wednesday night, we had an Ash Wednesday service as we marked the beginning of Lent, this time that goes up to Easter. And traditionally, Lent is a time when we deny ourselves. We just take stock. Am I fully surrendered to God? Am I walking closely with him? Is there more of him to discover? I wonder how Lent looks for you this year. I wonder what opportunities there are to deny yourself, that you may know God better, that you may walk empowered by his Spirit closely with him. Paul writes to the Ephesians, I pray that out of God's glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Through his Spirit living within us, God will strengthen us. He's the strengthener and he's the comforter. What a great word that is. He's the comforter. We all need comforting at some point, don't we? What a difference it can make to receive comfort when we're going through a difficult time. Maybe going through grief or loss or anxiety, or there's a real battle, a real struggle happening in life. I'm sure many people here can speak of knowing what it means to be comforted by the Holy Spirit when going through a really, really tough time. When we receive comfort, it doesn't change the situation, does it? The situation is still tough, but we're given the strength to keep going when that caring person puts their hand on our shoulder or gives us a hug and says, I'm with you, strengthens us. So the Holy Spirit helps us to hear God speak, helps us to speak to God, strengthens us, and fourth, brings us peace. He brings us peace. I wonder if you know what it's like to have the peace of Jesus in your life. When we've got the peace of Christ within us, we find we've got peace with God, we've got peace with ourselves, and we've got peace with other people. We can be in right relationship, up, in, and out. Paul writes to the church in Galatia, he says, when the Holy Spirit is living in you, you will experience life like this. He says, you will experience the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These aren't things that we're being told to strive for, to try really hard to be gentle and faithful and have self-control. This is what happens when we submit to Jesus as Lord. When the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within us, he does this work in our lives. If only we'll submit to him. All these things that are needed for us to be in right relationship with others, with God, even with ourselves. Jesus says in verse 27 of our reading, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. I wonder if you know what it is to know the peace of Jesus in your life. It's not like the world's peace, which is fickle, which is unreliable, which is there for a bit and then gone. The peace of Jesus is beyond our understanding and will stand guard over our hearts and minds. It's been said of the peace of Jesus, you know when you have it. Makes all the difference. And you know when you haven't got it. So the Holy Spirit helps us to obediently follow Jesus, to love him, helps us to hear God speak, to know God better. And it helps us when we pray, when we speak to God. The Holy Spirit will strengthen us and comfort us and will bring us, give us that peace of Christ. If you've read the book of Acts, the book after the four Gospels, you'll see how the Holy Spirit guides us, shows us where to go. It shows the apostles and the disciples where to go and also where not to go. Gives them great guidance. And we read of people being filled with the Spirit again and again. I think maybe especially in the book of Acts. Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, be filled with the Spirit. And as Manda said earlier, the sense of being filled is not a one-off thing, but it's a continual thing, that we're continually to be filled with the Spirit. It's a moving thing. We're to keep on being filled with the Spirit, a continual command for the believer. Because the Spirit is like rivers of living water. That's how Jesus describes the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is like rivers of living water. Jesus says, whoever believes in me, rivers of living water will flow from within them. And by this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. Those words are from John chapter 7. Jesus doesn't say, come to me and I'll give you a pool of living water. A pool is static, isn't it? A pool, the water doesn't go anywhere. Jesus says, I will give you rivers of living water. Rivers flow. Rivers move. Remember that word at the beginning, dynamic. Rivers are dynamic. There's power and there's life in rivers. When we come to Christ, we receive his Spirit, his Holy Spirit promised, and he fills us afresh. And his Spirit flows within us, just like the love that flows between the Father and the Son. And as the Spirit flows within us, we experience what it means for us to be in relationship with God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We experience what it means to walk in fullness of life. So I wonder, instead of saying, more tea, Vicar, I wonder if it should be more rivers of living water, Vicar. It's a bit more of a mouthful. But that's what I want. More rivers of living water. I wonder if you're thirsty for more of God, for his rivers of living water. It might be that you're sat here this morning and you don't know Jesus for yourself, and you've been listening to what I've been saying, and I hope some of it has made some sense. Maybe it's been making more sense to you than you imagined it would. I invite you to come to Jesus today. A great prayer is, Jesus, God, if you're real, please help me to see you today. Please help me to know that you're real today. We'd love to pray with you after the service, if that's you. We'd love to pray with you. And if you invite Jesus into your life, you will receive the promised Holy Spirit, the one who brings power to us. Maybe you know Jesus already. My question to you is, are you thirsty for more? Paul says, go on being filled with the Spirit, continually being filled with the Spirit. And Jesus says, if you want to be filled with the Spirit, you just ask. Just ask. In Luke 11, he says this, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? If he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Jesus is saying, you, with your failings, your imperfect parenting, instinctively know how to give your kids good things when they ask for them. How much more will your Father, who knows you through and through, who loves you, who knows what you need before you ask him, how much more will he give you the Holy Spirit if you ask him? Jesus is encouraging us to say, would you fill me with your Holy Spirit? He's encouraging us to ask. So let's just take a moment. You might find it helpful to close your eyes. Just to be still. And I'm going to pray, come, Holy Spirit. And if you would like to join me in that, just echo that, whisper it, say it quietly in your heart. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit.